first reading is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 14, verses 32 through 42. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." The word of the Lord.
Watch with me, is all he asked. For I am overwhelmed with sorrow. But as he prayed, they fell asleep. Again and again and again. In the darkest hour, the power of sleep stronger than the affections of the heart. Are you still sleeping and resting? Simon, don't you understand? No, he did not. The Son of Man, his master and teacher, taking the wrath of God for the sins of the world. And they slept. Are you still sleeping and resting? Do you understand his suffering? Can you stay awake and watch with him? Alas, no. Day in and day out, we slumber and we sleep, but he prays and then says to us, "Arise, the hour has come. Behold my betrayal, my suffering, my death."
The readings continue with the 14th chapter of Mark, verses 43 through 50. And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard." And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his hair. And Jesus said to them, "Am I leading a rebellion that you would come to me with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." They all left him and fled. The word of the Lord.
so they came with swords, clubs, power, and with might. Why? Because rebels are dangerous. They challenge authority, undermine the powerful, overthrow kingdoms. Am I leading a rebellion? Jesus asked. He who challenged authority, undermined the powerful, and taught of a different kingdom? Jesus, are you leading a rebellion? Yes. Yes. But not with swords or clubs or might. For Jesus' rebellion was a battle waged against pride and selfishness, bitterness, evil, and death. This was not a rebellion against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness which come to steal, kill, and destroy. And what of his weapons? Truth, love, his life, and his greatest weapon of all, his death. Am I leading a rebellion? Jesus. Anything less would not be enough. The perfect rebel to set the captives free, to buy back the lost, to bring light to those who walk in darkness. Are you leading a rebellion, Jesus? May it be so. Let it be so.
Reading continues in the 14th chapter of Mark, verses 55 through 65. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none, for many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.' Yet even about this, their testimony did not agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, 'Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?' But he remained silent and made no answer. Again the high priest asked him, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' And Jesus said, 'I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven.' And the high priest tore his garments and said, 'What further witnesses do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?' And they all condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to strike him, saying, 'Prophesy!' And the guards received him with blows." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You've heard the blasphemy. This mere man calling himself Messiah, saying he has the authority and power of the great I Am, would you say? What is your judgment? Who do you say that he is? Shall we too mock and spit and pity and sneer? What do you really think about the man Jesus? Will you make a judgment? Who do you say he is? Liar? Lunatic? Lord? And they led him away to be crucified.
And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was at the third hour when he crucified him, an inscription on the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." And so the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. The word of the Lord.
They stripped him. And they shouted, they spit, and they struck. He who would be crowned king, obedient unto death. The nails pierced his hands and his feet. Through flesh and bone, into the wood. Pitiful, pathetic, powerless. He was strung on a tree to die a criminal's death. He who had knit them together in the womb, who knew the very hairs of the head, called and held the whole universe together by his word, hung on a Roman cross at their bidding. Why don't you save yourself, Jesus? Aren't you the Savior of the world? You who could call down tens of thousands of angels to defend your rightful honor. Come down that we might believe. Instead, their prayers went unanswered. He stayed nailed to the tree, numbered with the transgressors. Save yourself? Why not, Jesus? So that we might see and believe.
Mark chapter 15, verses 33 through 38. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at that And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The word of the Lord.
Lamb of God, abandoned by his eternal Father in his greatest hour of need, sacrificed for the sins of the imperfect, unholy, blemished people of the world. Surprise to Jesus? Perhaps not. From the cross, he spoke the word of Scripture for us, that we may know his innocence, his worthiness to pay the full price. My God, why did you forsake him? And in silence, God answered, "You, my perfect son, forsaken, so they, my lost children, may be forgiven." Forsake you, Jesus, in order that they may not be forsaken. For my cross and my crown did the King of Heaven come down. For my sin and my shame did he suffer my guilt and my pain. For a slave I am no more. He was forsaken to make me the Lord's. Once in chains,